Sunday school devotional study comes from Judges, chapter 6, verses 1 through 31. So any of you have heard me read, so hold on, we're going for 31 verses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the land of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou came unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which saith unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord saith unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and send it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God saith unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, At last, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Salom. Unto this day it is yet an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, and in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice to the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. And the man of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He will plead for him. Let him put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be of God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Anyone have any announcements before we go to our Sunday school class? You may go to your Sunday school class.
Messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, And he sent messengers unto Asher and to Zebulon and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said to God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once more. Let me prove, I pray thee, this once with the fleece, let it now be dried only upon the fleece and upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. We have here, if you heard Brother Jimmy when he was reading Gideon describing himself to God as the least of his family, the youngest son. And yet a few verses after that, you see where Gideon gathered up his servants and they went and they threw down this grove, this altar to Baal. That was his father's altar to Baal. The reason I bring that up, I want you to picture the situation that Gideon is. I believe he's a young man, but he's an adult. He's got his own servants and probably his own household, but I believe he still respects his father. He still he doesn't want to cross his father, but he knows that his father is not doing right, I believe. Now, my thought about his father is perhaps he wasn't so much worshiping Baal as he was just going along with the things that were around him. The nation of Israel at this time was corrupt. They were sinning before God, and that's the reason that God has allowed them to be taken into captivity by the Midianites. And you heard Brother Jimmy read about how that the Midianites and the Amalekites were destroying their food. Gideon was threshing so that he might hide what he had threshed from the Midianites so that he wouldn't be taken or just destroyed. And evidently, Gideon's father, Joash, was not any better than the rest of Israel, and I guess he just kind of went along with what was happening. Now, I don't know exactly that he was actively pursuing the worship of Baal. He may have been, I'm not really sure, so much as he was just not fighting his name. The reason I say that was because in the 31st verse, when those men came to seek Gideon's life because the grove was destroyed, Joash said to, says the 31st verse, and Joash said unto all that stood before him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. So he appears to me to be disavowing Baal. He seems to be standing up finally upon last and saying, Oh, Baal, let Baal stand up for himself. Let him defend his own honor. But if someone is pleading for Baal, let that man be put to death. That's the way I understand that verse. I could be wrong. So, and yet you have up earlier, it says in the 25th verse, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had. So, that just kind of leads me to believe that Joash was just kind of floating along and going along with whatever the world said. And that kind of strikes a chord with me because I wonder, you know, sometimes if God doesn't look down upon his people and see that very thing happening, does he look down upon us sometimes and see us just going along? And I don't think anybody here would ever take up a false religion and actively pursue baptism of infants or whatever works might come along. I don't think any of us would do that. But does God ever look down upon us sometimes and see us just going along with the world and just trying to conform and fit in and be okay with whatever goes on and not stir up any waves, not create any waves, not stand up the way that we ought to? We are commanded to be a separate people. We're commanded to leave the salt of the earth and to deliver forth the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. If we don't do those things, then we are, in essence, erecting altars to the things of the world. When we get so caught up in our lives and in the things of this world, we have altars then. We have things that we put before God. And I believe that's what Joash has done there. I don't really want to spend a lot of time, any more time on Joash. I just wanted to bring that up to show you the situation Gideon is in here. Evidently, all the land about him is corrupt. It's gone after the things of Baal, so to speak. And God and Joash, and Gideon is a relatively young man. I personally picture him somewhere in his 20s, but I don't know how old he was. And God appears to him as on this threshing floor and tells him that he's a mighty man of valor, this angel does, and he's going to rescue his people out of the hand of Midianites. And Gideon's response is that my family, and this is the 15th verse, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. I believe he is the youngest of his father's house, I think is what he meant. So that's the situation for Gideon. Now, that's going to be tough. I mean, that's really hard. Here he's got to go up against his father, even though he knows his father's not really doing what he ought to be, not living the way that he ought to be, and he's got to do that thing. It's going to be difficult. And then he's got to go against the Midianite. God has told him you're going to defeat this Midianite army. But Gideon trusts in God, and here's the difference. Here's where Gideon shows himself to be a faithful servant. He trusts in God, and he believes God. He believes what his angels say, and he has faith. You might think that he's showing a lack of faith here with this asking for signs, because that was the way that it struck me at first, that he was weak in his faith. He may have been, I don't know, but he had enough faith to ask for that sign. He didn't just turn and run and say, I can't do it. And I wonder, you know, put myself in that position, and that might be what I do. Lord, I can do that. That's beyond my grasp. I'm the least of my servant. Can't do it. He didn't do that. It says that in the 34th verse here, but the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, he blew his trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. You remember that in the 11th verse here it says, and he was the son of Joash, the land was Joash the Abiezerite. This is Gideon's kinfolk. His immediate kinfolk is gathered into him. Now, I think there's a couple of reasons probably for that. One is, you know, it kind of gives us a little bit of comfort when our kinfolk come around. Or at least I would hope that it would. When people that you've grown up with, people that you've met with at reunions, whatever, when they're all gathered around you, you feel at home. And it gives you a little bit of strength, especially when it's in a spiritual setting. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be my cousins and my brothers or sisters, whatever. It doesn't have to be that. It can be y'all. If y'all are around me, that gives me strength. That gives me hope and encouragement and helps me. In this case, I think that it says that these, I believe it was his blood relatives were gathered about. Then you go on and you see, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers from Asher and the Zebulun, the Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. So you see, he is gathering these children of Israel, these sons of Jacob. And I'm gonna give you the lineage here a little bit. It says throughout all Manasseh. It's talking about the land area that was Manasseh, which was the land that was given unto the son of Jacob, Manasseh. And, okay, you know that Joash is Gideon's father. Abiezer was Joash's father, Gideon's grandfather. And then Manasseh was Abiezer's father. And Manasseh was the son of Joseph, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, Joseph was the son of Jacob, and y'all know the story of how that his brothers cast him into the pit, and then he was sold to the Midianites, I believe, and taken to Egypt to become a servant of Pharaoh. So the reason I bring all that up is you see that he blew this trumpet and he sent messengers from Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. Those were also sons of Jacob and were brothers to Joseph. So these are all basically very distant cousins that are gathered around and representative of the children of Israel. Okay, so we have here Lord's Spirit of Gideon. Gideon living in this corrupt nation. Gideon has got faith in God and is doing the best that he can is what God has asked him to do. He has begun to gather Israel together. He's bringing these forces together. And just for reference here, back in the 23rd verse where the Midianites and the Amalekites are gathered together and pitched a tent in the valley of Jezreel. The word Jezreel, the name Jezreel, means God scatters. So keep that in mind. One thing that I think, I said, I talked earlier about how that at first I thought that maybe Gideon didn't have as much faith. Well, he might not have as much faith as he needed, but he had enough faith to turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to help him. He asked for these signs, and because I don't think that he doubted that God could do what God said he would do. I believe he doubted in himself. I think he may have not been 100% sure about what it was that God was going to do, and he's just asking for a little clarification. But not doubting God, but really my take on it is he's doubting himself. And I think the thing that kind of came to my mind is he says, "Let not thine anger be hot against me." I believe he's bowed down to God with a humble spirit and a contrite heart, asking for instruction, asking which way do I go. Yeah, he asked for a sign. I'm going to try to get to that in a little bit. But basically what I want to get to is he prayed. I believe he prayed with all his heart. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know which way to turn. And he just turned to God. And that is what we as God's people need to do today. You know, because I don't know where to turn most of the time. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the future holds. But I know that God does. Gideon knew that God knew what the future held. So he turned to God, and I believe he bowed himself down and offered up a humble prayer, and God answered that prayer, and that's how he knew. Now, I want to point something out. I don't know if y'all read the Sunday school lesson over on the 18th page, but Brother Vatico is saying that that Gideon is having second thoughts because of the reduction in number. It seems to be that. And so he asked for these signs. The reduction in numbers didn't come until after this sign was released. So this, from what I can, the way that I'm reading it in the Bible, the reduction of the signs of the fleece came pretty early on in the situation. Now there was another sign after the reduction in number, and we might get to that in a while. I don't know if we will or not. But this is all occurring before this. We got this great troop gathered together, this nation of Israel being gathered together. And Gideon is praying for instructions. They haven't been whittled down to 300 yet. I want to go we have here Gideon asking for a sign, and he's doing it in the right manner, with a humble heart, and he's praying to God, and he's listening. I want to go for a contrast to Matthew 12 and verse 38 for just a second. And I want you to notice the reaction that the Lord has when someone asks for a sign without on the heart and not in the right manner. Matthew 12, verse 38 says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there is no sign to give unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, the real heaven, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, the problem here with this people was, the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't believe. I don't think they had a humble heart, I don't think they had a contrite spirit, and I don't really think they wanted a sign at all. They just wanted to question Jesus, and they wanted to, they didn't believe that Jesus could give them a sign, and I think they wanted to try to make it appear that he didn't have any power. That's my thoughts on that. I could be wrong, but I just want you to see the contrast there in these people. This person, the same individual in Gideon, turning to God and being given a sign, and this these Pharisees and the Sadducees asking the Lord directly for a sign and the response that they get from that. Now, you know, there's been times in the past when, you know, thoughts come into my mind about, Lord, give me a sign, let whatever happen. That doesn't work. I can't do that. I can't tell God, if you want me to do this, let a bird fly across the road or something like that. That won't work. God doesn't work that way. I don't tell God what to do. I do have the opportunity to bow down before God, to ask him with all my heart and try everything that I can to get in touch with him and seek an answer. Now, it's not out of God's hands, it's not out of his power to give a sign and say, get here with this place. He can still do that if he wants to. And he may still do that. I don't know. God is all powerful and it's however he wants to handle the situation. But it's not up to me to pick and choose what's going to happen. And it doesn't work that way. But really, that's a good thing. I'm going to read some now from 1 John chapter 4 to try to explain what I mean. We need to be drawn near to God and feel His Spirit and be led by the Spirit that we might receive that assurance. And that's what's better about what we have. When we receive that assurance, you know, this fleece situation that Gideon had here, that was pretty oppressive. But the feeling that I had in my heart when God wants me to do something is even more impressive. That is so much, such a sure thing. When God moves upon my heart to direct me to run from something or to run towards something, that is a mistake. There is no doubt. There is no denying it. Now, I may not listen. I may not obey. But I can't say that I didn't know. I can't say that it wasn't clear, because it is clear. When God deals with one of His children, they know it, and it's clear to them. Verse, staying in the same chapter of 1 John, and dropping down to the 10th verse. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When we are faced with something, if the Spirit that we're faced with, the preacher, the person standing up talking to us, whatever, if that Spirit doesn't testify to our spirit that's in our heart that God has sent His Son, Jesus, for the salvation of the whole world, then, again, we need to be aware. We don't need to be trying to get God to do some kind of physical manifestation on the earth. We don't need to be looking for stuff like that. We need to trust what's in our hearts, the Spirit that God has put in our hearts. And that will give us our assurance. That will let us know that we're on the right path. It'll let us know that we're going to win the battle, no matter how great the odds may be. Now, I spoke about, Gideon's army was put down to 300 people. Y'all know the story on that, how that. They started off with a great number and got it down, I think it was 10,000, and then got it down to even less than that, 300 people. And Gideon was, I don't know exactly how Gideon felt about that. I haven't lost my place here. In the 10th verse of Judges, in verse 7, well, okay, let's go to verse 9. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said to him, that is Gideon, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. God understands that Gideon has 300 men, and I don't know how many Malachites and Midianites there were. I suspect there was probably tens of thousands. It may say later on, I don't know if it does or not. But the fact is that they were so vastly outnumbered, people-wise, that there was no chance at all that they could win without the help of God. And God understands that that's a scary thing for his person. He understands that, you know, Gideon is only human. He wasn't superhuman at all. And he understands how scary that was. So he's giving him another sign here. He said, go down, take your servant and go down and listen. And Gideon did that very thing. In the 13th verse it says, and when Gideon was come, that is, he snuck down into the camp, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I bring the dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled unto the host of Gideon, and it came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow, that is, his friend, this Midianite's friend, actually said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Gideon and all the host." So here Gideon's got some reassurance. This enemy of his has had a dream about what's going to happen. And this enemy has told his tent mate, probably another soldier in Gideon, I don't know, about the dream. And the soldier is interpreting and saying, "Gideon's going to get us. We're doomed." These soldiers knew the strength of the dream about them. They knew the situation as to how strong they were, and they knew they were beaten. And that could only be the hand of God. And Gideon knew that. And so I'm sure y'all all know what happened. So I'm going to stop. I think I've said all I need to say. Does anybody have any questions and comments? I appreciate y'all coming today. And let's keep the preacher in our prayers today before I leave him and give him guidance. If there's nothing else, we'll ask Father Son to dismiss us.